Revelation chapter 3. Just going to read verses 7 and 8 again. Revelation 3, verses 7 and 8. The angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." From all outward appearances, this small church in Philadelphia would seem to be unprofitable and inefficient in serving the Lord. They were small and of little strength, nothing like some of the other churches found in these seven letters. From all outward appearances, this church would seem as though it was doing little or nothing for the Lord. And yet if we look a little closer, we'll find that this small church, though in all outward appearance it appeared to be unprofitable, was still diligently serving the Lord, adamantly, vehemently, in all their hearts, in all their minds, and all their souls. For though she had kept Christ's word and not denied His name, she was yet of little strength. At first appearance, this might appear to confuse us, because we would consider, Lord, if a church is being faithful to You, if a Christian is being faithful, doing all they can to serve You, and yet it seems as though everything they do is not being profited or successful, then they must be doing something wrong. Doesn't God bless faithfulness? Doesn't God bless us when we try to serve Him? And I know as a young believer, when I first got saved, I thought every time I do something for the Lord, God would just rain down rich blessings upon me, and I would be so rich in the things of God. And I soon found out that a lot of times when I served the Lord, it didn't appear as though I received anything outwardly. A lot of times it appeared as though all I actually received was persecution for trying to live for the Lord. And sometimes that can confuse us and overwhelm us. Yet He who searches the heart and tries the reins, that simply means He tries those inward affections. He tries those inward motivations. He who searches the heart and tries the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doing, that's found in Jeremiah 17. He searches the hearts. He tries the reins that He might give according to the fruits of a man's doings. He beholds those inward workings of faith and patience, which are in the sight of God a great price. You see, God's not looking for great outward quantity in our service. He's looking for those inward workings of grace, the quality of our heart and our mind and our service. And as Christians, sometimes our hands and our feet are busy, and it appears as though outwardly nothing's being accomplished. Yet God looks at the heart. He looks at those inward workings of grace to see if He can find those two virtues that are so pleasing in His sight. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees, our Lord said, were like whited sepulchres, which, He said, indeed appear beautiful outward. He said, outwardly, according to man, you look like those whited sepulchres. beautiful in every manner and every aspect. Outwardly, men would look at you and you appeared to be so pious and godly. You appeared outwardly to be as white as sepulchers. But he said, within you're full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. So you see, God doesn't look upon us, nor our works, as man does. In each and every one of these letters, he begins by saying, I know your works. I'm aware of what you actually and truly are and do. Though man may not be aware of it, I know exactly who you are. I know exactly the quality and measure of your heart and service for me. I don't know about you, but that greatly encourages me. Because if man were often to judge according to outward fruits, I think sometimes we'd all agree we'd come up barren and fruitless. Yet God sees those fruits which really are worthy of His praise and His blessings. Workings of His grace in the heart of a believer. Because where true grace reigns within, there is often an outward appearance of weakness and frailty. You ever notice that in Scripture? Where true grace reigns within, there is often an outward appearance of weakness and frailty. It's almost a paradox. But you remember Paul's outward thorn in the flesh? Paul says, I have a thorn in the flesh. And he besought Christ 3 times to remove the thorn in my flesh. And Christ says, no, my grace is sufficient. Christ would use that outward thorn in the flesh to be a divine means of grace, to work grace in the heart of Paul. So grace was veiled in an outward appearance of weakness. Christ Himself would veil His Godhead in the flesh. And Christmas song, veiled in flesh the Godhead see. He would veil His own Godhead in flesh, giving an appearance of weakness. Yet inward the fullness of the Godhead reigned. Isn't it amazing how God will sometimes veil a work of grace in the heart with an outward appearance of weakness and infirmities? And beloved, this is what Paul meant when he said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What treasure? Salvation by grace through faith. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Vessels that break, are frail, full of infirmities. We have this rich treasure within this earthen vessel that the power or the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. So it's not unusual that grace reigns where there's an outward appearance of weakness. And so it was in this church. Men would look at this church and see nothing but an outward appearance of weakness. Look at all your labors. Look at everything you're doing for Christ. You've kept His name. You've not denied His name. You've kept His word. You've kept the word of His patience. You've done all of these things. And you continue to do it. And yet you're still little in strength. You must not be very profitable for Christ. Something must be wrong. And yet Christ says, I know thy works. Beloved, that's the key. It's not what men think of us. Though I'm not saying we should ignore the testimony we give to others, but it's not what men think of us. It's what Christ thinks of us that we should and must be concerned about. What does Christ think of me? What is the condition of my heart and my soul and my mind? That's what we should be concerned about. That inward man. Paul says it best in Corinthians when he says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised have God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Look at that list. He's chosen the foolish. He's chosen the weak. He's chosen the base. He's chosen the despised. Who has done all that? God has. With an outward appearance of weakness and frailty and infirmities, yet a powerful inward working of grace in the heart. And He does that, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Well, if you recall this or not, but in the Old Testament, when they did the temple, the outward part of the temple, the Holy of Holies, was covered up with all these skins of animals. And out from the outward viewpoint, when you looked at it, it looked really terrible. All these bloody skins hanging on the outside. But once you got inside, there was the golden candlestick. There was the bread. There was the beautiful ornaments and the curtains. Beauty was inside, but when you looked at it from the outward, it looked as though it was nothing but a ruddy hut. But once you walked within inside, you seen the glories and beauties of the Holy of Holies. Beloved, that's a wonderful illustration of the believer. Sometimes God's grace is veiled by our infirmities and our weaknesses. Yet the grace of God still reigns. And so it was in this church. Its outward appearance was that of little strength. Yet inward they had a strength the world knew nothing of. The strength of those graces which are so pleasing in the sight of God. Is it any wonder then that the church in Smyrna and Philadelphia, the only two churches without censor, without rebuke, though poor and of little strength, should receive such high commendations from our Lord? Let us then strive as God's children to see by God's grace more inward workings of faith and patience, which alone can make us rich and strong in God's grace. Don't be so concerned what men think. Keep your eyes and your hearts fixed on Christ. Strive that those inward workings of grace work out that salvation with fear and trembling, Paul says. That's the important part. Notice this morning the divine effects of such inward working of grace upon their lives. Verses 8 and 10. Thou hast kept my word, hast not denied my name, and kept the word of my patience. Listen to that. That was the true inward working of God's grace. Most people would have given up. It's no use. Let's forget it. We're not doing anything for Christ. How often have I heard that as a pastor and as a Christian over the last 28 years? When it seems to be unsuccessful what you're doing, people say, well, maybe we ought to change. Maybe we ought to do something different. It's not working. I remember in Germany when we was down on the streets 14 years every Saturday preaching the gospel week after week, month after month. Sometimes it appeared as no fruit was coming of our labors. We'd go back to the church and have our prayer meeting. We'd pray and we'd be strengthened by God's grace to go back next Saturday with the same vehement zeal and devotion and adoration just to serve God. I wish I could say that we've seen abundance of fruit in 14 years ministry. Who knows what will happen when we stand before Christ? Who knows how much of that word stone in 14 years will eventually take root? Only God knows that, and we'll find that out on that great day of judgment. But right now, if somebody asked me, I couldn't say there was abundance of fruit in 14 years. But I'll tell you one thing. The church was so strengthened spiritually. God blessed us so abundantly spiritually as a church. With unity and love and the meetings we had and the preaching of His Word. And it was just amazing how God blessed faithfulness. So don't let other people judge your efforts and works for the Lord. Let Christ alone be your judge. Seek to serve Him and not to please others. We live in a day and age where a lot of people, if they don't see immediate fruit, they give up. I can't tell you how many times people have tried to tempt Grace Baptist Church to give up because of all the apparent shortcomings and hindrances and roadblocks that we've ran into. It was a lot easier to pick up and move, go someplace else, try to start over again. The church in Philadelphia didn't do that. They kept His Word, they didn't deny His name, and they kept the Word of His patience. In other words, they kept preaching the Gospel. They kept being faithful to the Lord. That's what's keeping the Word of My patience. That's what that means. You kept preaching the Gospel. Even though you was being persecuted for preaching the Gospel, you still continued to keep My Word of patience. You didn't deny My name, and you didn't release My Word. You kept My Word. God valued these things in this small church. That's why He says, that's why I put a door before you that's open. Because these things you have done. So often we get on the very border of the spiritual Canaan God would have for us, and we do the same thing the Israelites do. We get frustrated at the apparent difficulties, the giants in the land, and we end up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. We get so close to God opening up a door. And it just appears many times in my Christian life and ministry that when God is short before opening up a door, that's when the trials seem the severest. And what do? We usually turn around and run right before God's fixing to open up the borders. That's what this church was. It remained faithful to Christ. Beloved, if you never see any outward fruit in this life, and God forbid, because we want to see outward fruit of our labors. There's nothing wrong with desiring that. But if we never see in this life outward fruit, remain faithful to Christ in spite of that. We can only do that as our eyes and our hearts are kept on Christ. What loyalty they had. What devotion, what determination, what perseverance this small church had in the midst of all these problems. Though of little strength in themselves, they continued to persevere and faithfully serve Christ. That's what Christ is looking for. He's not looking for quantity, He's looking for quality. He wants to serve us for Himself. Not for the rewards. Not for the fruits. Though there's nothing wrong with longing for fruits. Who doesn't want to see salvation of souls? Who doesn't want to see a church grow and be edified? Yet, beloved, we're in this service for Christ alone. Not for the rewards. But for Him. For Him alone. And if God should bless our feeble efforts, then that's even more of a greater blessing. But you see, our heart has to be right in our service. It has to be set upon Him and His glory and His honor and the advancement of His kingdom for Him alone. When our hearts are set on that, we're not going to be influenced by outward circumstances. And God blesses that. This church in Philadelphia didn't allow their circumstances nor the littleness of their strength to hinder them from serving Christ and preaching His gospel. How many times I've heard Christians make excuses? Why aren't you faithful to church? Well, I've got this problem. Well, why aren't we out evangelizing? Well, I've got other priorities in life. And excuses, we hear them every day. Christians are always using their circumstances to excuse themselves for not serving Christ. Why not faithful in Bible reading and prayer and tithing? Oh, I have these excuses. This church didn't make up any excuses. They served the Lord faithfully, diligently, with loyalty and devotion. And Christ honored that. He greatly honored that. And He put an open door before them. Proverbs 22 said, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets." In other words, he's so lazy, he said, "If I get up and go out the streets, I'm going to be devoured, so I'm going to stay in the safety of my house." That's what a slothful individual does. He finds excuses for not serving Christ, for not being faithful, for not being loyal. Oh, this blessed small church didn't find excuses, though I'm sure they could have found many to justify in their side and men's. They didn't use any of them. They kept His word, didn't deny His name, and kept the word of His patience. Remember that good and faithful servant the Lord talks about in the Gospels? Enter into the presence of the Lord. That good and faithful servant. Remember that? That good and faithful servant whom Christ would make ruler over many things, that's what He said, must first be faithful over a few things. Remember what He said? "Oh, thou good and faithful servant, because you've been faithful in a few things, I'm going to make you ruler over many things." If we never learn to be faithful in the few things Christ gives us, how should we ever hope to be faithful in many things? Grace Baptist Church, this fits our situation ideally. We have a few things. Let's be faithful in what God's given us. God will open a door. And when He does, He'll make us ruler over many things. But let us be faithful in the few things that we have. Isn't that what He later says to this church? When he exhorts them in verse 11, He said, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Hold it fast. Don't let it go. Somebody's trying to steal it. Keep it close to you. So the little Christ has given us, God give us grace to be faithful with that. For how can we expect to have more if we're not faithful in the small things, the little things He's given us? This church was faithful in a few things. And because they were faithful in a few things, God made them rule over many things. But He exhorts them to hold fast that which you've got. Somebody's trying to steal your crown. And we're talking about the world, the devil. Oh, the world is so subtle, so deceptive. Man, I'm telling you, the world's so deceptive. Don't think that you can overcome the world in the power of your own strength. It is so deceptive. The entertainment, the pleasures, the lust it offers. Before long, you find yourself drawn to those more than you are Scripture. You find yourself entertained by those more than by prayer. And before long, you wonder why you're spiritually dead and indifferent. Why am I not praying the way I used to pray? Why is not Scripture so exciting to me anymore? But yet I feel so drawn to these things of the world. Because the world keeps enticing you, and the more you take the world, the less you'll desire of God. God, give us grace to hold fast those things that we have. Let no man take your crown. And I like how when He closed it, He said, "He that overcometh, he that overcometh." I'm telling you, there is a huge, huge difference from today's people who hold the doctrines of grace to those of our forefathers. Today they use it as a license to sin, to be lazy. Well, God's sovereign. Doesn't matter what I do, God's going to do what He... I'm telling you, there is a responsibility we have. He says, hold fast that which you have. And He also says, I'm only going to reward those who overcome. Those who won't let themselves be drawn away. Those who don't allow themselves to be defeated by Satan. Those who don't allow themselves to be drawn away with the world. Those who overcome. You see how He exhorts them to even greater diligence. Beloved, there's no better life than the Christian life. Never a dull moment being a Christian. Never a dull moment being a believer. There's going to be times when we're going to be deep in the valley. Yet in every valley there's a lily. And that lily is Christ. There's going to be times when we're climbing a steep mountain. And like Pilgrim's Progress, we get weary halfway up the mountain. We want to stop and take a rest. And that's the worst thing we can do. If Christ is diligent to keep us and preserve us, give us strength to continue on. Beloved, one day, and that day is coming soon, we shall rest from our labors. And we shall ever be with the Lord. But beloved, until that day, let us keep His Word, not deny His name, and keep the word of His patience. Let us learn from this small church with little strength that the world looked at and said, you're doing nothing. You're unprofitable. You're not going to do anything for Christ. All your labors are in vain. Let us learn from them not to look or hear what men are saying, but look solely to Christ and be faithful in the few things He's given us and trust in Him to open doors that no man can shut. And God will give us grace. God give us grace to be faithful in those few things He's given us. As small as they might appear to be, let's be faithful in those things. We're a small church. Let's be faithful to reading, to prayer, to preaching, to evangelizing, to tithing, to all these things. And when we show ourselves faithful to these things, then God will open a door before us. Amen? And God will bless us. But let us keep our hearts on Him and our minds on Him. Let us learn from this church with little strength, yet which had much grace. Amen. May God give us grace. May God give us grace to be faithful in the few things He's given us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again we come before Thy presence this morning, thankful so much for Thy Word, how it encourages us, how it challenges us. Lord, we pray, keep our hearts from wandering astray with the pleasures and lust of this world. How deceiving and subtle they are. Oh God, it just seems as though sometimes we feel ensnared and trapped by the things of the world. We pray that You keep our hearts, keep our minds. Lord, draw nigh to us. Help us to be faithful in those few things You've given us, in those little things, so that we might, by Thy grace, be made ruler over many things. Father, we love You. We thank You for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.